Welcome, friends, to Inspirational Truths, a time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price, and I'm always happy to say it's Inspirational Truth time once again. I greet you in the blessed name of Christ, my Savior. And if he isn't your Savior, he can be. In fact, he wants to be. Luke 19 and 10 tells us that he came to be, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. So if you started this day in the wrong category, you can end up in the right category by realizing you're a sinner, repenting of your sin, and by faith, by the grace of God, by faith, receiving Christ as your Savior. Well, Debbie and I are excited about the program, about the message and the song that the Lord has laid on our hearts. And if you'd like to read along with me, I've opened my Bible to the book of the Revelation, the book of the Revelation. Now, it's not revelations, it's not plural. It is the book of the Revelation that God gave to Jesus Christ, His Son. And how wonderful it is. I've opened my Bible to the third chapter. I'm going to read verses 1 through 6. We're going to look at the church. We're going to look at what the Word of God says about the church of Sardis. And, well, I'll just share a few. They're real simple thoughts, but listen. They're very major things. I mean, they're profound in many, many ways. And I want us all to pay attention to this. I want us all listen now to hear what the Spirit saith. And that's what verse 6 says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith. So we need to do that. We're living in unique days, are we not? I believe it's days that precede the second coming of Christ. I believe that with all of my heart. And look, there are some things that have been meant and intended for the church from the beginning. We're going to find that out. We've got a privilege in these last days. You and I, sir, ma'am, have a privilege in these last days to be sure that we're not a part of that apostate church that, well, is surrounding us today. Look, Debbie's going to sing this one song, Heaven Awaits, and I'll meet you back here in the book of Revelation chapter 3, beginning of verse 1. You pray for me, would you? I know you are. I'm glad you've tuned in. And I trust our time will be a blessing to you. But more than that, I pray to bring glory to God. Be back in a moment.
One day my labor down here will be o'er. On Zion's ship I'll step aboard. I'll soon be sailing across. Who believe
What a promise. Thank you, Debbie, for that. Can I ask you, friend, what awaits you in eternity? Eternity awaits you, but you're going to decide, sir or ma'am, you're going to make up your mind in this life what eternity will be for you, where you will spend it, where you will be for an eternity. My, what a privilege that is, what a great responsibility also that is. In the book of Revelation, chapter 3, beginning with verse 1, John writes these words, and this is, if I remember correctly, the fourth letter, right? The fifth letter that he was writing, the seven churches of Asia. He said unto the church, unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. He said, I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest. Now watch this, and art dead. It appeared to be alive in this world. I mean, to their neighbors, to that that city that they were a part of, that city of Sardis, that place where maybe seven different roads came into that town and dispersed to the remainder of the world. I mean, to tell you that place that was well known at that day and that hour. I mean, people thought that they were alive. But here, listen, friend, here's the place we need to be alive as a church, as a group of believers, as a body of Christ. We need to be alive in heaven. We need to be seen by God Almighty as alive. He said, thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. He said, be watchful. Strengthen the things which remain. What a great admonition that is. How we need that in our day. I'm praying that, in fact, every day in my prayers, I'm asking God to strengthen the things that remain that are ready to die. He said, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. They were busy. They were busy as they could be. They had program after program. Listen, they had a lot going on. I'll tell you what, they had no spiritual life. They had activity. They had a lot of activity, but you need more than activity. He said, remember now. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. And there's the message. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and shall not know what, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a name, a few names, even in Sardis, which has not defiled their garments. They shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. And I will not blot out his book out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath the Spirit, listen to this admonition. Listen to this word. Listen to what Jesus said. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now look, if you will, again at verse 3 said, remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. I'm going to talk to you just a little while today about this thought. It's real simple. The whole message is simple. I'm not going to be profound. I'm going to say things that you already know. I'm not going to try to go in the well of God's Word and in that deep place of great truths, eternal truths, try to bring up anything or something that you've never heard. For I don't want you to be awed at me today. I don't want you to say, whoa, look how amazing that. That's not what I want. I just want you to hear. I just want you to be reminded. I just want you, friend, to be stirred to where that you and I will decide today that we're going to embrace the great things of God. We're going to embrace those things that we've been given and been given as a trust, as a solemn trust that you and I, friends, as the children of God, are going to keep that charge that God has given to us. So I want you to think with me about this text. Let's just face it. Let's just say we're living in a day that's strange, don't you think? I mean to tell you, seems like to me strange things are going on all the time. I mean, I look at America and I just hardly, barely recognize my nation in many ways. I look at the church and how it's being transformed right before our very eyes. How, friends, so many things about the church has been replaced and has been changed and has been watered down. Oh, friend, listen, it's no wonder Jesus said to the church in the beginning where He gave some condemnations, friend, where He said, thou hast a name that thou livest and are dead. Let's just face it, friend. There's some things that God has given to us. Listen to what He said in verse 3. He said, "Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast." May I have to preach on, let's just hold fast. I mean, there's a lot of text that no doubt could be fitting for this message, that could work for this message. But here's the text that God has laid on my heart. And I want you to be a part of this. Listen, this church of Sardis was an amazing church. I mean, to tell you, it's founded on an amazing place. Do you know that that it was on the top of a plateau? I mean, about 1,500 feet above the valley of Hermas, I believe is where it was at. I mean, it was almost impregnable. There were two times that the enemy came against it and conquered or defeated that city of Sardis. And you want me to tell you when it happened? When the watchman went to sleep. Oh, do you know what? The Word of God talks about watchmen, talked about Isaiah 7. I believe they're dumb dogs. They're asleep. They can't bark. Isn't that amazing? Hey, folks, we ought to wake up. We ought to be watchmen. We ought to be waiting. We ought to be looking. We ought to be working for the glory of Almighty God. Look at what I'm afraid we've done in this nation. You know what I'm afraid we've done in this society in this hour? I'm afraid we've forgotten some things that God has given to us. I'm thinking that we have laid aside great truths and great designs that God has for us. Friend, listen, for something that man has produced, something that man has decided upon rather than a God Himself. And that's what I'm going to talk about in this message. Oh, look, I don't think it'll sit well with everybody, and I'm not trying to please everybody. There's only one that I want to please in this message. He's invisible. He's eternal. He is. He was. He always shall be. And He's the one, friend, that I'll have to give account to ultimately when all things are said, done. Listen. Now they were warned to remember. I mean, they were warned to remember the truth that they had heard and they had received. I mean, to tell you, they were to watch over that. They had inherited something. They had been entrusted with something, and now it was their charge. Now it was their cause. Now it was their call to take care of what they have been given. But all they were to hold fast to it, and they were not to become guilty of departing from it. Can I tell you, in these last days of apostasy, that's what marks apostasy. That's what defines apostasy, is a departure from what is known to be true to the thing that they know not to be true. And listen, friend, there's so much of that today. Could you imagine what Sardis had been given? I mean, to tell you, in the time of the church age that Sardis represents, they have been given a great deal of wonderful and marvelous thing. Oh, I want you to think about the prophetic period that had come their way. I mean, things that had been denied other churches have been made available to them. By this time, the printing press had been invented. And I'm talking about now, not when the church of Sardis in the area of Asia was being addressed to Jesus, but I'm talking now prophetically. I'm talking about typically, if you will. I mean, this age or phase of the church age that Sardis represented, the Scriptures have become available. I mean, to tell you, they were in circulation. They could be held. They could be read. They could be studied. They could be hidden in the hearts of men and women and lived out in their lives. Right? Even the great fundamental teaching of justification, justification by grace through faith, have been brought out of the debris of the past, out of the debris of centuries of denial. I mean, to tell you, a return to worship, true worship in spirit and in truth, have been given to them. Listen, the days of dull ritualism of Rome, of that church of Pergamos, of all the ceremonialism had passed. Sardis, friend, had received something beautiful from the hand of God. And now, do you know what? It was their responsibility to do something dealing with it. It was their responsibility to keep it, to care for it, and to pass it along. Hey, can I tell you what, friend? Let's just face it. Let's just face it. I want you to know something, that there's still some things that are right and wrong. There's still some things that we've been given, we've been entrusted with, and that we need to hold on to. And you say, preacher, what's your list say? Well, look, friend, I may not have them in the best store in the world. I'll just give them to you, though, as I see fit. Listen, friend, let's just face it. There's still a book that's being tested. It's being tried. It's been proved. It's called the Word of God. And when I'm talking about that book, I'm talking about this King James Version of the Bible that I hold in my hand. In fact, I no longer call it a version, although I know it is, although I know how it was produced, when it was produced. I know how it came into being. But let's face it, friend, I'll tell you, since man has been fooling with this Bible, trying to replace it, trying to correct it, I'm trying, friend, listen, to talk about it as if it's old and archaic, as if it's tired and worn out. I'm telling you, this blessed old book, I bless God, is eternal. I don't only believe that it's inspired, but I believe God has preserved His Word just as it was intended to be. And I believe we can trace many of our problems, multitudes of our problems, back to the tempering and the changing of the Word of God. Listen, friend, listen. Said, you don't have to worry about when I preach what version I'd use. I think there's only one. And I unashamedly, bless God, I unabashedly, I unapologetically, when I preach and teach, I talk about, bless God, that authorized version. I'm not interested in that not authorized version, the NIV, not inspired version. Hey, friend, I don't want something revived, but I want something that'll revive me, that'll quicken me, that'll make me alive, that itself is alive. And I'll tell you, this blessed old book, this King James Bible, I bless God, I believe it's good enough for me. Thank God. Thank God. Oh, I ought to stay right there. How about I really don't have time? Look, friend, let's just face it. I not only believe that there's a right book and many wrong books, and you can disagree all you want, but that's okay, friend. I'll stand on my conviction. And if you would trace, friend, the problem in our nation, in our world back, you would find that in history it was related to the time men began to abandon the Word of God, put it out, put it down, say that God's not right, put themselves above it, friend. You'd see this old preacher isn't as foolish as you think that he is right now. Let me tell you something else. There's only one true God. There is only one God, and besides Him, there is none other. It's not Allah. Thank God it's not Confucius. It's not any of the other gods of all the great, they call them religions of the world, but it is a great I am that I am. I'm the one who in the beginning, thank God, stepped out of His eternity, stood on nothing but His almighty power, and with His grace and divine ability, I spoke all things into existence. He said this about gods in the book of Isaiah 43 or 44 and 8. He just a part of the verse. He said, is there a God besides me? Question mark. He said, yay, I'm there. There is no God. I know not any. You know what God is saying? He is saying, listen, I'm omniscient, meaning I know all things. And trust me, if there was a God club, if there was a God club, I'd know about it. But Jesus said, listen, He's introduced as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hey, can I tell you, He's not one among many, but He is the one true God. Hey, friend, listen, I'm glad to know that I need to remember that there is a one true God. His name is Elohim. He's El Shaddai. Listen, He's the beginning and the end. He's the creator and the sustainer. He's the Almighty. He is, was, and always shall be. And Jesus Christ manifested Him in the flesh. Listen, friend, there's only one way to heaven. Jesus said, I'm Him. When Peter wrote, or spoke actually, as Luke records in the book of Acts, chapter 4, verse 12, Luke said something like this, as he recorded, Peter said something like this as Luke recorded it. He said, there is no other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. And you say, what name is that, preacher? Well, it's the name of Jesus. Just like Gabriel told the stepfather of Jesus by the name of Joseph, look, Joseph, that which is conceived to thy wife is conceived of the Holy Ghost. She shall bring forth a child. Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sin. There's only one way. And Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You don't have to like it, but bless God, if you want to arrive safely in heaven, you want to be in the right place in eternity, you best believe it. You best embrace it. I'll tell you what, Muhammad don't know the way. Confucius is confused. Hey, listen, those people that belong to the Hindu religion, trying to get on that big wheel, something keeps throwing them back. But I'll tell you, Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He said, he that call upon me shall no wise be cast out. Hey, friend, there's only one true God. Let me tell you what else there is. There's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. We're living in a time when people say that the preaching and the teaching about hell is archaic. I mean that it comes out of a dark age, that it's used as spiritual abuse and manipulation. But let me tell you something, there's more spiritual abuse coming from the pulpits of America today when a supposed man of God or a pastor who is supposed to be ordained, probably of men, but not of God, fail to warn men of a heaven to gain and a hell to shun, when they forget to tell them that Jesus came to save. And He came to save. What did He come to save us from? He came to save us from an eternal death, from an eternal separation from God, in a place that was prepared for the devil and his angels, that has enlarged its mouth and its border without measure, because people like me and you refuse to trust Christ as Savior. Hey, I want you to know, let's just face it, there's a choice to be made by you, sir, ma'am. You determine your eternity in this life. You don't wait till you die to see whether or not you're going to heaven. You do that in this life. God's not going to meet you in judgment. Have your good works on one side of a scale, your bad works on another. And then if your good works outweigh your bad works, He says, come on in. Listen, friend, you'll get through the door. Jesus said, I am the door, not a way, but the door. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Listen, the choice is yours. Make sure you make the right one today. Make sure you make the right one today. You say, how can I do that, preacher? Well, let's just face it. There's a cross that's bare, a tomb that's empty, and a throne that's occupied. Jesus died for your sins better than 2,000 years ago. He was buried in a borrowed tomb. And hallelujah, on the third and appointed morning, He came out from among the dead, never to die again. 40 days later, He ascended to the right hand of the Father, took up His position as a mediator. And Paul tells us in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, I believe, there is one mediator between God and men, the man, Jesus Christ. Hebrews 7:25 tells us that He ever liveth to make intercession for us. And the Bible said in Romans 10:13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let's just face it, sir, ma'am. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you're lost. If you've never repented of your sins and trusted Christ to save you, you're lost. You need a Savior. But all Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. Listen, folk, let's just face it. There's a right way, there's a wrong way to live and a right way to die. There's many people that are walking the broad path. I mean, I want you to know there's a narrow path. There's a straight gate and a straight way. And you can get on it today if you realize you're a sinner. By faith, repent of your sin and receive Christ as your own. He'll save you today. Hey, let's just face it. Let's get real about eternity and the things of God of human and Savior.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at the same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. Or on the web at TomAndDebbie@inspirationaltruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at inspirationaltruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ear. Now until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours.